The Father's Business was founded by Sylvia Gunter to encourage people to a deeper relationship with God. I'm Elizabeth Gunter Powell.
And I am Kimberly Roddy. Welcome to the Father's Business podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us.
Welcome, everybody, to the next edition of our podcast here at the Father's Business. We have started a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and last week we spent time just talking overall about the fruit of the Spirit, and we focused in on the thought that the fruit of the Spirit are relational, because it's not a list of behaviors that we have to try to perform. We can't produce the fruit on our own, but we are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we abide with the Holy Spirit, the fruit is then produced in us. And so this week, we're going to look at the fruit of love. And I would say, in the same way that we said overall, all the fruit of the Spirit are relational, love is relational. You can't love outside of a relationship or a community, because it takes other people. You know, think of all the verses about love one another and all the one another verses that we find in the Bible, right, Kimberly? Mm-hmm. So we can't do this in a vacuum. And that's what makes all of the fruit of the Spirit feel difficult, is because other people are involved. If I am in complete control of my day and I get to do exactly what I want, when I want, and how I want, it's pretty easy to be loving and joyful and all the other fruit of the Spirit. But it's when we find ourselves in community and in relationship with others that those conflicts can start to show up. And it's the iron sharpening iron that's talked about in Scripture. So we're going to spend a day looking at what is God's definition of love versus perhaps what we think love is, and also how we can allow the Spirit to produce this fruit in our lives.
Yeah, I think that's true, Elizabeth, because love's not just this natural desire that rises up within me. It's not simply a feeling. It is a choice. And so often we romanticize it and we celebrate it during Valentine's Day and anniversaries and weddings and all those kinds of things. But it goes so much further than just mere emotions, right? And greeting cards.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you listen to love ballads or what the greeting card industry is selling us, yes, there are moments when I feel that way about people that I love. But there's also a lot of times that I look at my family that I dearly love and I think, right now, I'm not sure I even like you because they're doing things that are irritating to me. And so if you only define love as a feeling, like even the phrase people say, I'm falling in love with you, that is an emotion. And yes, there is that butterfly feeling that you have, you know, think about when you start dating someone or when your child is born and they're absolutely perfect. And that first moment together, that there is that euphoric feeling of love, but that's not real love. Real love is a covenant. It's a commitment. It's the, I'm going to continue to show up for you, whether I like what I see in your behavior and your actions or not. It's much more sacrificial, because that's what we see in the Bible, right? That God loved us while we were yet sinners. So we weren't doing things to earn his affection when he chose to love us. I mean, one of the most famous Bible verses in the world, people that aren't even believers can recognize it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There is this choice to love regardless of the behavior we're getting from the other person.
Elizabeth, I think all of that is true. And I think even beyond that is another foundational like verse underneath that. And if we look at 1 John, that talks a lot about love, and 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we see right there that love is from God. Like Romans just showed us, right? It is Christ died for us. He showed his love for us. Like you said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Love comes from God. It is a choice. It's a covenant commitment. It can't be based on my feelings, because my feelings are going to change, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it has to be connected to coming from something so much deeper as in a commitment. And like you said, that's connected to the sacrifice, because you can't have a commitment without sacrifice. It requires something. It requires give and take. And it does go beyond what's natural. And we have to remain steadfast in that. But I think it's also, you mentioned earlier when we were talking before we started recording, Elizabeth, that this is one of the attributes of God, right?
Right. Yeah. Because we talked last week that all of the fruit of the Spirit can help us understand the character of God, because it's the fruit of who he is. But this is the only fruit that in the Bible it says God, I mean, the verse you were just reading in 1 John 4:7-8, if you kept going, at the end of that verse says, God is love. Now, he is faithful and he is gentle and he is kind and all these other types of things, but this is the only one that I believe in scripture. It says that clearly. The definition of love is God. God is love. Love is God. It is the essence of who he is. And there's a lot of time spent in the Bible trying to describe and explain to us God's love for us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Its mercies never come to an end. Like, there's so many scriptures and so many times the word love is used in the Bible in a disproportionate way to the other fruits of the Spirit. And also, there's a lot more time spent commanding us to love. Mm-hmm. And I find that so comforting that I have to be commanded to do it because yeah. on my own, I'm not going to, because we are selfish by nature. We are jealous by nature. We are all those things listed on the bad side of Galatians 5 of don't have hatred, don't have jealousy, don't have all these other things in your life, but have the fruit of the Spirit. And so it's okay that sometimes it's hard because it's not natural for us to do. And we do have to have God supernaturally allowing who he is flowing through us in order to truly be able to love one another.
One of the other places in scripture where we see a lot about love that's quoted a lot at weddings and things like that is 1 Corinthians 13. That's known mm-hmm. as the love chapter, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at that, this is where you really see that we kind of have to be commanded to do this. It's not easy or natural.
Nope.
So it talks about love as patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As far as prophecies, they will pass away. As far as tongues, they will cease. As knowledge, it will pass away, but love lasts forever. So, why bother trying to love?
Seriously. as you're reading that, I'm like, no. I'm rude. I want my own way. I'm irritable. Ooh, that's the one that always gets me. Yes, I'm a loving person. Are you irritable? Well, yeah, a lot. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like an impossible standard. Again, much like we talked last week, that the fruit of the Spirit can feel like an impossible standard if I'm trying to do it in my own strength.
Right. Which takes us right back to what we talked about last time and what we talk about regularly, which is our job, our only role is to stay in alignment with Father, Son, and Spirit so that he can give us that supernatural love for other people and for ourselves. Like, we don't love ourselves well. We don't love God well, and we don't love others well. And so if we're not walking, like the verses we looked at last week and right before, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about walking and staying in step with the Spirit, right? If we're not doing that, then we can't do this, because this flows out of that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there is one thing I also want to kind of turn the corner a bit on this, and Kimberly, have you help us talk about this? Because you deal a lot with conflict and mediation and those types of things. I also think there's a bit of a misconception that love is always saying yes and not having healthy boundaries, or always just giving in so that you're being loving. Because in a lot of ways, that is my definition for other people, is you love me when you let me do what I want to do. And so talk to us a little bit about kind of what love is and love is not. I don't think love is weak at all. I think it's a very strong thing. But a lot of times we try to say, well, you're not being loving. But what we're trying to say is you're not allowing me to do what I want to do.
Right. And that gets to the motivation of things, right? Like what's underneath the motivation for what we desire and what we want. And love is, while it's sacrificial, it's not that idea of you're a doormat. And sometimes I think too often in the Christian life, we've talked about sacrifices, just laying down and being walked over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk about preserving unity. Mm-hmm. And by that, the way that we do that is we don't speak up or we don't say anything. And sometimes speaking up preserves unity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes having boundaries is love. So I often use the verse in James that says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? It's your desires that wage war within you. We all have a desire to be seen, to be known, to be loved, to be heard, to be understood, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And those desires in and of themselves are not bad. So the desire to be loved, the desire to be heard, the desire to be seen, the desire to have your way moving forward is not necessarily a bad thing. But when you start twisting that, and then you're kind of making other people pay, or you're demanding mm-hmm. things of others. That's when you can be aware enough to check yourself in that moment, mm-hmm. I think that's when you'll start to see your desire has gone awry and you're no longer loving mm-hmm. and you're no longer like, I can't control how other people are doing that. I can't control how other people are handling their desires and how they're treating me, but I can control how I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I can control is how I'm handling being treated those ways. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, we have to be active in the sense of, if I'm not being loving and I recognize I'm actually after a selfish gain here, which takes great awareness and understanding our desires and what we're doing with them, then I can manage that. And I can come into alignment with the Spirit and I can say, I don't want to walk this way. I don't want to step this way. Put me back in step in alignment with you. If we're on the more passive or receiving side of that, then I also think we have to be aware. And rather than choosing to engage in conflict, sometimes we have to take a step back and sit and recognize, ask all sorts of questions. But boundaries are a good thing. You don't have to say yes because someone is convincing you that they're trying to love you, if it doesn't feel like they're loving you. And that those are messy conversations that I'm not sure we can totally get into today. But mm-hmm. I do think that if some of this is like sparking that conversation, wrestle it out with someone safe and trusted that you can talk mm-hmm. with, because I do think that there are places where we really have to learn and relearn what it means to be on the receiving side of appropriate love.
Right.
That's a tough one, because there's lots of different examples that are flying through my head right now, and we just can't dissect all of them. Mm-hmm. But it sometimes people couch their desire for justice or manipulation through a lens of love, and we have to be really wise and discerning if we're on the receiving side of that. We can, like I said, we can control when we're on the active side of doing that, but if we're on the receiving side of it, we need to be wise in how we're looking at that, and it's absolutely okay and loving to set boundaries.
Kimberly, as you're talking, the phrase that kind of runs through my head, and I think I can see both sides of it, but a red flag phrase for me has been, if you love me, mm-hmm. you would XYZ.
Sure.
Now, I understand the manipulative side of that, but I also have been on the other side of that, of saying to someone, you're saying you love me, but your actions and behavior towards me are not kind. They're not good. They're not for my welfare. And so I think in some circumstances, which again, we're opening up a big old can of worms here. In some circumstances, I think it is okay for us to internally check, like you're saying, the motives behind what people are saying and doing to us, and saying, are they truly being that sacrificial love? Are they, you know, the John 3:16 kind of love, where Jesus was willing to die for us before we knew who he even was. Uh-huh. And so there is a healthy side of being able to say, you know what? You're saying with your words that you love me, but your actions are not lining up with those words. But there's also a very manipulative thing that I have been in past relationships where I have been told, well, if you love me, you would do 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And that's where it becomes transactional. Mm-hmm. And I will only love you, or I will only believe that you love me if your behaviors are this way. So it's not an easy put it in a box and every circumstance we could possibly think of is covered kind of thing. But I think that's why it's so important to keep going back to, if we're staying in step with him and the person we're in relationship with is also striving to stay in step with God, then it's going to be a whole lot easier for both of us to be loving to one another. Is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not, because we're not perfect.
Sure.
But I think a lot of times in my relationships, I get so focused on the behavior of the other person, like you're talking about, versus going, okay, I can't control that. But what I can control is how much time am I spending aligning myself with who God is, and how much am I allowing his love to flow through me?
Yeah, I think a practical example that comes to my mind as you're talking too is one of the ways that I know I love the people closest to me is the way I show my love and my care for them is by checking on them as far as their health goes at times, like how's your eating? How are you taking your medicine? I do that with myself. It's a way I try to love myself well. And by no means I'm perfect at it, but I do this with my family. And sometimes that can feel like offensive or controlling. Mm-hmm. Because on the receiving end of it, it feels like I'm just asking the question of, did you take your med today? Did you take your medicine today? Did you eat today? Have you gone on a walk today? Are you taking care of yourself? Like, those are just questions I ask because I care about people. And I feel like when we take care of our bodies and our minds holistically, then I feel like we will just be better people and we'll live well and we'll have good relationships. Like, I feel like it's all connected. And so sometimes it's genuinely a way that I love people, but that doesn't mean that the other person feels love.
Right.
When I ask those questions,
and
if they're coming back to me with a comment like, I feel like you're controlling me, or I don't know why you're bugging me. Yes, I've done all that. Leave me alone. I think that is an opportunity for me, rather than to get offended. It's an opportunity for me to, in a good space, say, how did I come across with my tone? How did I come across with my body language? Because sometimes I may feel like I'm wanting to love them, but I'm not showing it. I'm not treating them with love. And so that is sometimes where we have these motives to love people. Like, sometimes I think we've talked in other stories, like you've had times where your husband wants to fix things and that's his way of loving, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it doesn't feel loving.
Right. It doesn't feel loving. And so again, that's where it goes back to, if I'm loving someone, I need to remember it is patient, it's kind, it's not irritable or resentful. And so my attitude can show irritability or resentfulness or impatience or unkindness. And that, in essence, isn't showing love. And so is my motive really love in that moment? And I have to check myself.
Yeah.
And that's where, too, I think that we see in scripture that God is love.
Yeah.
And yet we also see in scripture where he expressed justice.
Yeah.
And anger. Right. And he flipped over the tables because they were not doing what they were supposed to be. That's not how they were supposed to utilize the space in the temple. Right. And he was showing his anger of that. Mm-hmm. That didn't mean he wasn't loving at the same time. He was loving and honoring his father by that act. Right. Yes. And it was the right thing to do. And so it's just it's a very tricky conversation in how we flesh it out. And I think that's why there is so much written about love. Like, there are a lot of one another commands, how we treat one another. There's more one another commands than a lot of other commands in scripture. And so the forefront of that is loving one another. And it has to flow out of that and being in step with the Spirit, because it is so complicated and so hard otherwise.
Yeah. And I think God knew that. He understood the frailty of how he made us. And that's why he also, just very bluntly says, if you don't love, then you don't know me. Like, it's pretty, it's like, wow, that's a very harsh statement. And they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. It's like, yes, this is a big deal. It's very important. And as you said, not only in the Bible is a lot written, but good googly mook. Go, just go to your local bookstore. How many different books have been written on love, yeah, both from a Christian perspective and a secular perspective through the years? Because it's not easy to do. And yet it's at the core of who God is and how he wants us to live. So we're going to end each of our podcasts by blessing the spirits of everyone who's listening based on the fruit for each of the weeks. So this week, we want you to receive a blessing of the fruit of love.
Beloved child of God, listen while I speak your Father's heart and his ways for you in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Spirit, you are beautiful in the beauty of God's Spirit living in you. He has given you the good gift of his love in you. He makes you more like himself as you give him freedom to transform you into his image. The Holy Spirit wants to reach into the deep places of your being and bless you to display his love in the world.
Listen to Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You can know how dearly God loves you because he has given you his Spirit to fill your heart with his love. You were created of your Father's love. You are the evidence of God's love deposited in you in lavish measure in making you just the way you are. Know deep within that you belong to your Father, who is love, and he speaks his love to you. You are not an it, you are you, the real you, the essence, the inner being. He enjoys you and finds pleasure in who you are.
Spirit, be blessed with larger than the universe love, before the foundation of the world love, the faithful love of your infinite Father for you. Be blessed to know that you are shielded in his love that always seeks your highest good, no matter what you do. Be blessed with God's kind of self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Be blessed with knowing deeply that you are accepted and affirmed in him. His love was forever settled on the cross, as the hymn writer said, "Did e'er such love and sorrow meet?" Be blessed with being completely persuaded that nothing can separate you from his love. He loves you with a mighty love that has no end. Marvel at the goodness of his holy love that you cannot get to the end of. His love extends its covering over a multitude of sins. He perfectly loves you, and you need have no fear before him.
Spirit, when God, who is love, is present in you, love is the fruit of his residence in you. You love others because he first loved you and lives in you to love through you. Be blessed with the love of Christ that compels you, that holds you in his unconditional grip.
Be blessed with 1 Corinthians 13 unfailing love in you, permeating you. His grace makes possible in you his love with no end and no limit and no measure. Paul said that love binds all the other virtues together in perfect unity. Be blessed as you let that love flow through you to your family and everyone around you.
Lean on the arm of your beloved for love's sake, as you love by choice, not by emotion. Love must give, whatever the cost. Be blessed with increasing and overflowing love for others, because God, who is love, lives in you to will and to do it.
Be blessed to display the same fruit of the love of God that the Holy Spirit produces in you, your grace-empowered response from his love.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and feel free to share your thoughts on our social media outlets. Until next time, may you be rooted in the deep love that surpasses all understanding that comes from God. Take care, everyone.
I want to thank you for listening to the Father's Business Podcast.
This podcast is made possible through donations by people like you. To donate, go to www.thefathersbusiness.com. Be sure to follow us at The Fathers Biz on Instagram and Facebook.